Blog Talk Radio.
Is that you been really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, drinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like no sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC for hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now?
Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling Christopher Gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me, bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot. Me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we're insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style of oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Alright, I don't know if y'all can hear me clearly or not, but welcome to the career. I'm out here campaigning. I thought I would be in by now. Why am I walking? Because I parked the car down front of my house and said, I'm going to do a little 2 miles ups, 3 blocks over, 2 miles down, 3 blocks home. And I figured I'd be in time for the show. Now, I started this whole journey with a little bag full of flyers and literature. Start off with 1,000, you know, so I ain't wasting my hand-to-hand combat. And I love the reception that I've been getting You know, so my spirits are up, but who knows? You know, still a Democratic town, so every vote counts. All right. Making it to the spot now. Okay. Going into the crib now. Roll up the staff now. Open up the door now. All right. So now the show is officially about to start. As you hear me slamming door after door after door. So now, while no further delay, we are now officially on the air. Okay, let's hit it now.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic at all, but he just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique, it was special.
Can you see by the dawn early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight lamply?
And here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high, love has joy to see ya.
Full of the faith and the darkness and
all. Oh, Lord.
march on till victory won. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far, oh, oh, along the way, thou who has bowed thy might to the light, keep us forever in this last we pray.
Okay, my fault. I thought the mic was on. Let me get this stuff together. We're going to do a show in Detroit, so let me get everything together.
Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. door with three pieces of black licorice in his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was the one, shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for streetlight. It's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight, 'cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning.
I suppose you're not voting in the Democratic primary on March 21st.
Of course I'm voting. You're the one who always forgets to vote.
And I suppose you're voting for Bobby Rush again?
I guess so. Didn't you vote for Rush last time?
Not this time. Rush gets on TV a lot, but I can't think of anything important he's done in Washington. I just found out that Rush has the worst attendance record of any Illinois congressman. He's missed over 300 votes.
Bad news.
DemocracyNow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté.
Well, activists in Detroit have appealed to the UN over the city's move to shut off the water of thousands of residents. The Detroit Water Authority says half of its 323,000 accounts are delinquent. It has begun turning off the taps of those who do not pay bills that total above $150 or that are 60 days late. Since March, up to 3,000 account holders have had their taps shut off per week. The Detroit Water Authority carries an estimated $5 billion in debt and has been the subject of talks to privatize. Activists have been organizing against the water shutoffs, saying they target Detroit's most vulnerable families. This is Ann Rawl of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization.
I want to tell you what six kids on this court, when they came to shut off the water, and their parents had to run to try to find how they're going to pay their water bill. Another woman, she's pregnant, she has a two-year-old. She's holding the bill with her $400 in her hand, and she's begging the man, don't turn off my water. A pregnant woman with a $400 bill. You're going to close the water off for a woman with a $400 bill who's pregnant. Shame on you.
That was Ann Rawl of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. In a submission to the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Human Right to Safe Drinking Water and Sanitation, activists say Detroit is trying to push through a private takeover of its water system at the expense of basic rights. The group Food and Water Watch said by denying water service to thousands, Detroit is violating the human right to water. The poverty rate in Detroit is approximately 40%, and people have seen their water bills increase by 119% within the last decade. Most of the residents are African American. Two-thirds of those impacted by the water shutoffs involve families with children. Meanwhile, the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department, or DWSD, has defended its actions, saying the water shutoffs are necessary for alleviating the department's debts. This is Greg Eno, Public Affairs Specialist at WSD.
We're trying to work with people more aggressively, let's put it that way, to try to get them either on payment plans or to get them paid, and it has worked. It has, we've increased our, we've lowered our debt a little bit by doing that.
For more, we go to Detroit, Michigan, where we're joined by Maureen Taylor, the state chair of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. In Ottawa, Canada, we're joined by Mira Karananampan, an international water campaigner for the Blue Planet Project. Her group filed the submission to the UN Special Rapporteur regarding regarding the right to drinking water in Detroit. We invited Detroit's emergency manager, Kevin Orr, to join us on the program, but his office declined our request. Maureen Amira, thanks for joining us. Maureen, tell us what's happening on the ground. People must be scratching their heads around the United States and around the world to hear this. How many people are having their water cut off in Detroit every week?
We're getting conflicting information, and good morning to you. We're told that it's anywhere from 3,000 per month to 3,000 per week. It is historical for the Detroit Water and Sewage Department to not give its residents information, but at our offices at Michigan Welfare Rights, we are getting 30 to 40 calls an hour where people are saying, I either have a water bill and I'm afraid that my water's about to be cut off, or my water has already been cut off. What can you do to help us and give us some information? So it is scandalous, and we live in the Great Lakes. And to have water threatened, and people told that if your bill is $150 or more, you're on a block, a chopping block, where your water's going to be turned off. In Michigan, it is particularly egregious because a household that has welfare involvement and water is turned off with minor children in a home means that protective services can come in and take the children out and put them in foster care. And in a foster care home, you can earn more money as a foster parent than you can as a birth mother. It's just scandalous what's going on in Detroit, just scandalous.
And what can families do if they don't have water? Where do they get clean water?
Well, again, we live in the Great Lakes, so it's an outrage to even have this discussion that this kind of attack is going on. What we advise people to do is, first of all, we get information on what is the reason why you may be behind on your water bill. We have multiple agencies and organizations that we can send people to get partial payments. We try to encourage people to set up payment plans. But the number of people that are under attack, and again, we're talking about blue-collar workers in Detroit. This is an orchestrated attack by banks and corporations and whatnot in an effort to try to enrich themselves. And so as the Water Department is trying to justify this egregious behavior, we didn't have any choice. But our colleagues in Canada that suggested perhaps we should go to the UN, we jumped at the opportunity, and we are expecting the United Nations to come to Detroit, take a look at what's going on here, and to make some kind of declarations about human rights violations. This is an outrage.
Mira Karnanthan, you're with the Blue Planet Project. Your group authored this report to the UN. Can you talk about what this statement, this appeal says?
The United Nations will look at the facts, look at what's happening in Detroit, and join us in declaring this a violation of the human right to water and sanitation. If you listen to the Department of Water and Sewerage in Detroit, you would think this is a case of people not paying for running shoes they've purchased. But we're talking about the water and sanitation services the people in Detroit are entitled to. This is their public water and sanitation utility. And so the level of cutoffs that we're seeing in Detroit, It's absolutely outrageous. It is a scandal, and it's a human rights violation. And these are not the measures that should be taken by the city to address the problem of underfunding to the water and sanitation services.
Mira, how much?
Now we're calling on the U.S. government. We're calling on Congress to intervene. We're calling on the state of Michigan to intervene, because both the federal government and the state have obligations to ensure that the rights of the people in the city of Detroit are.
And it's no secret Detroit was hit hard during the recession. The once bustling city of auto workers has seen years of high unemployment, a poverty rate near 40%, and a foreclosure crisis that has devastated the region. Now, some of the poorest residents are facing yet another crisis. No water. The city is cracking down on people with overdue accounts. Back in March, the Detroit Water and Sewage Department sent shutoff notices to nearly 45,000 residents. So far, more than 3,000 people have had their water turned off. The crackdown comes as the city just recently voted to jack up the rates for the water by nearly 9%. Concerned groups claim the move is violating the basic human rights to water, so they've decided to appeal to the United Nations. Four groups submitted a request to the UN Special Rapporteur this week. It details the problem in Detroit and calls for the UN's help. They're urging the UN to work with the state of Michigan and the U.S. government to stop the shutoffs and restore service and make water accessible and affordable. Now, the affordable line is the key word here. Over the last decade, Detroit residents have seen water rates rise by 119%.
Well, pay up or else. As the city struggles with bankruptcy tonight, the Detroit Water and Sewage Department is getting tough with customers who don't pay their bills. 7 Action News reporter Ronnie Dahl tells us they could find their service shut off.
During the winter months, late payers and non-payers get a break because if the water department was to shut their water off, well, the line could freeze up. But now it's springtime and time to pay up.
I pay mine every month. Never miss it.
Most people are like Femi, dedicated to paying their water bill on time each and every month. But others struggle.
That is extremely high. It costs too much.
Making ends meet can be tough, but customers won't be able to let their payment to Detroit's Water and Sewerage Department slide any longer. Those who are past due on their bill at least 60 days risk having their taps turned off.
What will be occurring beginning next week is the department will begin its efforts to shut off service.
Customers owe the department roughly $118 million. $72 million of that is from residential customers.
Do you think that they should get tougher on the people not paying their water bills?
I would say that would be fair. That would be a fair statement.
So if you're paying yours, everyone should be paying.
Yeah, everyone should be paying, but at the same time, start with the businesses, and then trickle down to the houses. Some people can't afford their bills.
For those who can't afford to pay their entire bill, they can make arrangements to pay installments. That way they can avoid having their service shut off. On Detroit's West Side, Ronnie Dahl, 7 Action News.
All right, thanks a lot, Ronnie.
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam. My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam. My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know her, you don't feel what I feel.
My part of town is similar to Vietnam.
You don't know that. You don't feel.
I'm from the place of domestic violence, where the people dying from the self-hatred virus, where the kids go to school and they think learning is cruel. Must have got about the kids in the world with no food. A food to eat for a freaking week. We walk around $100 sneakers on our feet and brag and boast. In the ghettos as we toast the Patron, claiming streets we don't even own. On crone in our home. I'm devoid of a father figure. That's why the brothers be out here like I'm a gangster nigga. Learn your history lesson. Learn how they slaughtered and murdered our ancestors. Now, that's gangster how they did our ancestors. Now, you ain't a gangster cause you say it on the record, huh? The real gangsters, you fakers, are the automakers and the bankers that still owe us 40 acres.
My part of town, my part of town is similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Don't tempt me getting paid, but really, pockets is empty, ain't that strange? Across 8 Mile, it's calm. Detroit is more similar to Vietnam. And the unified niggas is a hard-ass job. We want to live in these slums and let our sounds go. Boom, boom. Dumb when we young. Be damned if it's one of my sons not come where I'm from.
Where you from?
Could take a walk down Murder Lane on the Ave where the girls are insane. With the sag, I hate on the flag. How long will this foolishness last? Can you add, do the math, huh? Fast food plus some cartoons, plus the lack of love, equal kids so rude. Parents too soon, killing to get more.
Get money,
the spiritually poor, this is war.
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know, girl, you don't feel what I feel.
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
until your copper wiring. Or even worse off, get to firing. Have you down chasing pavement because your car's there admiring. I bet you wouldn't think it's over then. Tough times turn warm hearts to colder men. And it ain't just the youth, it's the older men. It's floating after so long from holding in. Pain stains the heart till you can't smile. And Vietnam ain't got nothing on Finkel to 8 Mile. It's enough to make your bones quiver. I'm surprised they ain't put battleships in the Detroit River. This ain't living, this is hell. People feel like they living in a prison, no different than a cell. Cause they scared to walk the streets they dwell, wondering if they gon' be another innocent kill. Cause cats lost consciousness, they killing that will. Whatever happened to the love revealed? Let's bring it back, huh?
My part of town, fuck my part of town. It's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
I suppose you're not voting in the Democratic primary on March 21st.
Of course I'm voting. You're the one who always forgets to vote.
And I suppose you're voting for Bobby Rush again?
I guess so. Didn't you vote for Rush last time?
Not this time. Rush gets on TV a lot, but I can't think of anything important he's done in Washington. I just found out that Rush has the worst attendance record of any Illinois congressman. He's missed over 300 votes.
Bad news. So who you're for?
State Senator Barack Obama. I've seen him speak a couple of times, and he's really got a lot on.
My fault, I had to mute on. I don't need the feedback neither. Got it, Ebony? Yeah, what's up with Detroit? You know, I would admit that my show has not been regularly on like it should have been in the past because I've been campaigning. And I've been trying to keep everybody what's been going on from every hood across every hood. We done dealt with the Detroit bankruptcy. We done dealt with the Detroit elections, the privatization of their schools. You know, Save Detroit has been the mantra. But now, you got citizens of Detroit, an American city, petitioning the United Nations for access to water. Now, I can't give you firsthand information about the situation. It caught me off guard, off left field, because no one is announcing that. This should be televised all across America. This should be the number one story. Excuse my language. Fuck Benghazi. But I can't tell you what's going on. And don't let me get on my what's up with them black Democratic politicians letting these people go starving. And why my man can go. I mean, I'm not even going to make it political. But I do have some people that's been on my show. I'm going to call them my Detroit, which give me a word for me, Detroit specialist, analyst,
correspondent,
my Detroit correspondents. And let me just bring them in. I'm going to bring Jason and my girl Moni Love, and I'm going to ask both of them what's going on. Jason, what's happening?
Matt, this has been an attack on the city. This has been going on for years, and it seems like now, you know, things are just, you know, culminating now, and it's coming out, and it's like, because here in Michigan, you know, the legislative body is, you know, controlled by the Republicans, and you have a lot of these Tea Partiers in there, and they're just enacting, you know, let these kind of things take place, and nobody's saying about, you know, anything about it, even though there's, you know, there's noise being made on the ground here, but it's almost like, okay, that's really kind of being muffled out. Like I said, the media, they're here, but they're not exposing it like they should be. You know, and that's a lot of things that were going on. But now it seems like they're trying to come around now and put some things out there to say what's going on. But really, like you said, this, you know, this shouldn't even have to have gotten to the U.N. We shouldn't have to go. I mean, this, you know, the government of this country, the Fed, once they heard of something like this going on, they should be stepping in. And that's the issue that I have. All the things that's going on here with Detroit, and the fans are just sitting back saying, oh, it's the state. You know, that's a state problem. That's a state problem. We're not going to get involved. But come on now, people being denied, you know, a human right to have water, and you're not going after the big corporations that owe money. So the big corporations, I guess, because they bring, you know, so much money to the city, but even with that, these same corporations, like the Illich, you know, people with the, you know, with the Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers and Comerica Park and all that, he still owes the city millions of dollars in taxes that he hasn't paid. So these guys are here to get a pass, but yet and still you want to go after, you know the ones that can't do anything against you, the ones that can't really fight the issue. And you want to come and bring them, you know, and go after them. And you want to cut off people's water from being 2 months behind. You know, I live in Southfield. And you get behind on your water bill, they'll go until the next year and give you up until, like, May to get it paid. And even then, they don't shut your water off. They just put it onto your taxes. Add that onto, you know, the taxes on your home, and they call it a day. So with Detroit, you want to come in into the poorest neighborhoods, and attack the least of those, and cut their water off, some being only $150 behind. You know, come on. I mean, it's just I don't know. You know what this country is coming to. You know, and it's just, you know, a shame that we should have to call on the UN. This should have been, the Fed should have been coming in to investigate the things that are going on in Michigan. You know, Michigan, this, you know, as they said, this is the Mississippi of the North. That's what Michigan is. This is Mississippi of the North.
Moni, what's your take on it, Moni?
I'm here. Sorry, I had my phone on mute. Didn't want to have you have any background noise.
What's your take on it?
Yeah, this is just deplorable. This is insulting. This is just, it's beyond a human rights issue, in my opinion. This is an embarrassment. Michigan has the largest body of mass water in the United States of America. And honestly, if you really want to go there, Michigan has the largest body of mass water surrounded it anywhere in the whole entire world, except for, unless we're counting the oceanfront. So if you live on an oceanfront, you live on, you know, one of the seven major oceans, that's the only reason that you have more water than Michigan has around it, okay? So when we're looking at that, and we're looking at the fact that now we have residents who owe less than, in some cases, $150, right? That are getting their water shut off in the middle of summer when it's the hottest point in Michigan ever, when we have smoking hot humidity, because guess what? We're surrounded by bodies of water, five of them. So that makes Michigan a very humid state. To think about that this is happening when the water rates have been raised, and this is going to shock you, generally, but kid you not, in the city of Detroit, 119% over the last 10 years, 119%. If we're going to do that over average over 10 years, we're pretty much looking at about a 10.1% average water increase rate per year, every year, for the last 10 years. And then on top of it, the city council, that deplorable city council that they have down there, they actually approved another 8.7% increase just last week. It's ridiculous. And the UN, I mean, think about this. We are a sovereign state, if you want to go there, right? We're supposed to be anyway. But yet still, residents of our state feel as if there's nowhere else to go. They can't go to the attorney general. You can't go to the governor. fact, you can't even go to your legislative officials that are getting paid in Lansing right now while they're sitting on vacay because it's recess season, okay? I mean, I'm just being honest, Jimmy. They're sitting at home, laying in bed. You can't even go to them. You can't go to no one. You can't go to the president. President, I guess, I don't know where he's at, but he's busy. You know, you have to go to the UN in the United States of America to try and lobby to get basic water service. Yeah, I'll be honest, we're just pretty just deplorable at this moment in Michigan right now. This is a crying shame.
It is not only a crying shame. I'm embarrassed because now you went through everybody. You didn't mention Conyers. I mean, should your congressman right now be petitioning the president that we have no water? Or, I mean, now, let me ask this question. Maybe I don't know. What if the citizens of Detroit declare bankruptcy? Then what? They're going to wait till everybody get $100, $150 behind again to threaten to cut their water off? Now, what is this? That's one question. Yeah, that's being rhetorical. Y'all can answer that if you want to. But what about this new mayor or mayor-elect? What is his position on it? What, I mean, do he have a position on it, or is this strictly still the emergency manager if he's still in effect? Is this something that he put into effect? I don't know. Someone tell me.
I'll let your other guest go first. Okay, so there's a mayor. His name is Mike Duggan. He is the first Caucasian quasi-elected, because I really have questions about that, always ask, quasi-elected mayor inside the city of Detroit in probably the past 45 years. Okay, so he was actually put inside of that position because, and I do say place because that's on purpose, he was actually placed inside of that position in order to make Snyder's job on destroying the citizens of Detroit and getting them, honestly, out of there and putting the people that he wants to have in much easier. So with that, have you heard a peek from Mayor Mike Duggan? No. You haven't heard anything from Mayor Mike Duggan, at least that I can research, and I'm pretty much a student of media. I keep my eye on it. In regards to residents in a city that he's supposedly the quasi-leader minus the emergency manager who is the real leader, say anything about residents' water getting shut off. So what does that say to you, Jimmy? If it was me, it would say that he honestly don't give a crap. So
she
doesn't.
JP?
Hey, you know, that's, you know, she's, you know, right on point. And that's been my thought as well. I'm like, okay, you're talking about, you know, putting up these abandoned houses or these houses that are, you know, been foreclosed on and you want to sell a house a week and, you know, or a day or whatever. And, you know, the houses that you're selling, you know, you're getting over on people because they're going to have to put more money into these houses than what they're paying for to get them up to speed. But yet and still, you have citizens in your city, residents in your city, now that you're the mayor, like, you know, quasi-mayor, but you don't have anything to say about their water getting shut off, and you're talking about all this. And that's what, you know, it gets me, because I know a lot of these Negroes here in Detroit that are in support of this dude. And I'm like, what are you all saying to him to say, you know, that actually him, why isn't he saying anything about this, about citizens' water being shut off because of, you know, of a little as a $150 bill that they're behind or they're 2 months behind? So what are you all saying? You know, and I get so sick and tired. You know, you got all these black folks that want to talk about, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that, but they're getting their little positions and, oh, okay, you're going to be all right. So just screw everybody else, you know. And that's, you know what this thing is. He's able to get in there now, and the thing is, even about him being there, he was even in on it and bringing this emergency manager here. Him and this dude went to law school together, and so he was on the committee to actually bring this dude here. So, you know, it's just amazing, and I'm still curious to see if he's going to say anything. And if you're going to come in here, you're the mayor of one of the largest, you know, black cities in this country. And you have a lot of your black citizens, Caucasian citizens, everybody that's being affected by this, and you're not saying anything? And then, like you said, you know, the city council, you all are going to impose another tax, you know, a hike on the water, an increase on the water? Are you serious? You know, I mean, this is a travesty, you know, because, you know, of just the position that Detroit has been in history, the position that Detroit has in history, to see something like this happen. And it's almost like you're ashamed to say you're from Detroit because you see all this that's going on. And where are our black elected officials? You know, Democrat, Republican, the same. Where are you at? You know, what do you all think?
Because honestly, this did give me a nice little political talking point. Let my deal is this now. And all you people out there listening that like to jump on Jimmy Lee, my white Democratic friends, my black Democratic friends, that when I go out campaigning, y'all always go to D.C., and I always say politics are local. Well, next time y'all say something like that, I'm going to say what's going on in Detroit right now. Because what's happening in Detroit right now can happen in every major city. You know, I mean, I'm looking at if a city, if I'm a, well, I'm going to be next congressman in the first congressional district, but if that was my district, me being a congressman, and my citizens in my city or my county have to go to the United Nations, I have a problem. As a congressman, as a senator, I have a problem. Now, yeah, I know we're looking at the, you know, if it went past the city council, yeah, I'm with y'all on that. It went past the county clerk, okay, they ain't tripping. People in the county ain't tripping. And now you ain't get your state legislators, they ain't tripping. Now, sooner or later, I mean, you know, the senators or your congressmen, if they get their name on the ballot, I mean, they got to say something. I mean, they got to say something. I mean, if they can't say nothing, they should at least bring national attention to the crisis. Now, is this crisis that they want their money and they're going gangster, or is there another reason why they're trying to collect all this money at one time? We know you're bankrupt. I'm quite sure the creditors know this also, so they should give you time enough to pay the debt off if that's the problem. You know, what are the reasonings? I mean, what are the reasons that they're saying that they have to do this?
Well, see, this is the situation, Jimmy. Okay. I got to go back and get a bit to go forward because this is the only way it's going to really make sense, right? Okay. So one of the goals of the emergency manager, right, was to try and sell off the water department. In other words, Detroit Water Department. Okay, he wanted to sell that off. He wanted to make it into a regional authority. He, you know, pretty much wanted to make some cash off of it, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Now, we have the person, or better yet, the Oakland County executive, L. Brooks Patterson in Oakland County, which is right next to Detroit. Okay, Oakland County Executive Elvis Patterson, like, no. You're not going to go and basically put, you know, decades of, might as well say, decapitated equipment, because that's what's going on, because there has not been the necessary upgrades to the Detroit water system over years, even though they're, you know, even though they didn't have some money to do it, but they decided not to for whatever reason, right? So you're not going to put all that antiquated equipment and pretty much the cost to fix that equipment on Oakland County. Is this, that's not happening. No, no, we're not doing a regional water authority. That's the way it is. He also got the executive in the next county, which is Mark Hackle. That's McComb County. Pretty much to agree with him. Mark Hackle has not been as outspoken as L. Brooks Patterson, but that's to be expected because L. Brooks Patterson, honestly, hate for Detroit has went back decades. I mean, I'm pretty sure even Jimmy, you know, of the, might as well say the verbal duel that L. Brooks Patterson and the former mayor Coleman Young used to get into.
Yes. Yeah.
How
right,
can Kevin Orr fix this problem? Because Kevin Orr was tasked to pretty much make the water in Detroit a regional authority, Well, if L's Brock and L. Brooks Patterson, the only resource he has is to now try and sell that to a privatized industry. Right. But the privatized industry only wants the Detroit Water Department if there is a boat full of liability, right, that they can go after to see for revenue. In other words, they want a lot of money that is supposedly due from these residents in order to make the investment profitable for them, okay, because they're venture capitalists. You know, they don't care about people. They only care about how they can make people suffer. So that is what Kevin Orr and, you know, the associated cohorts are doing. So they need to cut off all these people's water, create all these liabilities, so it will look better to a privatized investor to come into the Detroit Water Department and actually sell it off. The only thing about this problem is that they didn't really realize is that they thought that the residents were not honestly smart enough to go to the UN to complain the fact that you're shutting off my water in the middle of summer when it's humid as all get up in Michigan. They also didn't believe that it would get any media attention because the Detroit media, our locally based media, is all bought out. So basically they wasn't going to give it any attention. They don't care. You know, I mean, you know, they slice the money from under the table. They start talking about something else. So when it actually has started getting media attention outside of the city of Detroit, you know, now they're so far into this plan, I don't know if they can back it up, but they're beginning to look a little bit embarrassed. Now, is that going to cause them to say, maybe this is not the best idea? I doubt it. So it's going to take a, you know, major action from an international body, particularly the UN. Maybe they can put some pressure on President Obama, actually make the Congressman John Conyers do his job or something. You know, and it comes down to the mayor that's paying attention to trying to auction off some houses instead of Detroiters having water. That's Mike Duggan. And then maybe the city council will get a clue, you know, and then maybe things would go in reverse on the way it should happen when it should be coming from the city council up, but it's going to have to come from the UN down. I hope that makes sense.
It kind of makes sense, but it seems that your senators and your congressmen should be stepping in at this, like you said, in this apex of this heat wave that's going to be amongst us. You think another caller want to chime in?
Well, I'll say this, that, you know, after this coalition had made their plea to the U.N., you know, John Conyers comes in after that and making his statement, you know, denouncing it and saying that, you know, this was inhumane. And basically what he's going to, you know, to do is to try to introduce legislation to access to, you know, to water during the city's bankruptcy proceeding. You know, so he's supposed to be working on that with certain members of Congress, you know, and, you know, with state and federal officials in the coming days. But I'm saying, why would you have to wait until it got to the point that a community organization had to pull together to make, you know, to make this known, to make this a worldwide issue now, and, you know, for you to step in and say that. This is something that you should have, you know, at the thought of them coming in to shut off anybody's water, especially during, you know, the summertime, you should have been on that a long time ago. And I'm looking at, okay, where is Gary Peters? You know, where is, like, Debbie Stabenow? Where are all these folks now? You all come around when it's time, you know, to get you put in office. Oh, you're our friends. You're here, you know, in the city of Detroit. Oh, you're our friends. You love us, and you want to come in. But where are you all now? Why aren't you all screaming out about this? Why aren't you all making any fuss, you know, about this? You know, and these are Democrats that I'm talking about. You know, where are our state, you know, our state reps, you know, our state senators, you know, for this, you know, this area? I don't hear from any of them. You know, you speak out on other issues. You speak out on other things. But this, I think, you know, to me right now, this is more important than the education issues that are going on right now. You know, you have families here, you know, that are on the welfare. You have people that are living in poverty already, and then you want to shut off their water? They have children. They have, you know, and then with that, they have these conditions, and then they want to send in child protective services to take these kids out because, oh, you're not keeping up a safe home for this child.
Right. Right. This is what I'm saying. You see, it seems like a cabal. You see, it seems like a cabal. It's as if, you know, this I will try to keep political, you know, I roll GOP all the way, but it seems as if the city council, the county commissioners, the state reps, the state senators, and John Conyers are all in it together.
Uh-huh.
I'm quite sure, because they passed these laws that says that your utilities ain't all you can have your children. They made these laws in effect. Now, is there a plan to, so they cut the water off, have the government come in here and seize your children like you're doing all these Honduras children down there in the ghetto? I don't know. Just let me know something.
Hey,
I don't know. Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at that. You know, it's the same thing with Detroit Public Schools and, you know, everything that they came into this, you know, the deficit that had gotten up to $327 million. This was a deficit that was created by agents of the state. You know, before this takeover, you know, Detroit Public Schools had a $93 million surplus. We were, you know, our test scores were rising, you know, as far as student achievement was on the rise. But you come in, you create this debt, and then you want to blame the school district on it. And by sending in emergency managers that's coming in and exasperating the debt. So who's holding you accountable? So that's the same thing here. You're going to come in and force these people into this situation. And then you want to come in and, you know, say, hey, we're going to take your kids because you're not, you know, your water got cut off. So we're going to come in and get your kids instead of creating these, you know, these things. They make these policies and they blame the people living in poverty for their conditions. How can you blame somebody when you make these racist, you know, daggone policies that kind of force people into this situation, and then you want to blame them and not give them the resources and the tools that they need in order to pull themselves up out of poverty?
Jason, I don't want to go political, but, you know, I'm a Republican, and on the campaign trail, I've not been trying to diss Obama. Full disclosure, me and the president, we go back. You know, we go back. So my whole campaign ain't to diss Obama, but I have been going around telling everybody it's very funny that in the age of Obama, you know, the black man gets ignored. Now, here we got Chocolate City, the blackest city in the Midwest. First they lose, they plant start losing. He tried to save the auto industry. Thought that was going to go down. Next thing you know, Detroit's been in the news for decaying. It's like decaying so loudly that everybody's tone deaf to the loud noise of what's going on to Detroit. Or Detroit is just so bad off that no one wants to talk about it. Detroit's like Vietnam. Let's not talk about Detroit. We won't even go there. Man, don't you know Detroit about to lose all their kids? Man, they about to cut the waters off. You got dogs running around loose in Detroit. Man, they about to make a zombie park over there in Detroit, man. You got the about to bomb Detroit. I mean, this is all in the media. So my deal is this. Why haven't the citizens take this to the local media? How come nobody's calling Tom Joyner, Al Sharpton?
They did call Al, and they was on. I believe her name is Maureen. I can't remember her last name. I want to say Taylor. Yes, Maureen Taylor on Al Sharpton's show on Monday. She's from Michigan Welfare Rights, and she did go on that show and was talking about the situation. So I want to make sure Al did get on it.
Because I've been listening to Al and I don't listen to Al Sharpton. For the last couple of days, I've been forced to listen to Al Sharpton. I mean, you know, it's like torture, right? And he want to be the number one civil rights leader of America. Well, here you go right here, Al. I mean, Lord have mercy. You got not only black citizens. This ain't a black issue. This is an American issue. I mean, there's white, Chinese, Arab. There's a whole range of people right now in this economy that we have, check to check, where your food prices are high.
Jimmy, can I interject something?
Go ahead. Who's that? Is you, Nate?
Yeah, this is Nicholas.
Go ahead, Nicholas.
I'm a Detroiter, okay? I'm a Detroiter. I'm sitting right here in 313, and I want to let you know that, yeah, it's bad here. It's still bad here. Barack, he said he created jobs here. I don't see it. I'm not blaming the president, but it was bad before he got here. He had inherited a bad bill, you know, when he got into office. But as far as the water, Detroit is surrounded by the freshest lakes on the planet, most salt mines on the planet, but why didn't we have no salt this winter? That came from Kwame. Kwame Kilpatrick sold off the salt, all the salt. We ain't had no salt all winter, okay? I work for Home Depot, and we still didn't have no salt. So,
you worried about that?
Well, as a citizen, yeah, we have to salt our streets, salt the sidewalks. That's a issue.
Okay, Nicholas, I'm going to let you roll off. But I'm going to say one thing, me being Republican all. You know,
okay.
I do get pissed off when everybody always throw shit on Bush, right? Why you always got to bring Bush up? And I even get a little cringe, like, God damn, can I have a conversation in the motor while nobody bring up Kwame? Lord have mercy, the man been out of office for how long? Lord have mercy, did he do it like that, Nicholas? Did he do it like that?
Man, he raped the city. As far as I feel, he raped the city. And there's probably about 100,000 people here or better that feel the same way I do. He raped the city.
You got a new mayor right now. You got a new mayor. And what is your new mayor saying about your water being cut off now in Detroit? What is his take on that?
I'm not quite sure what his take on that. we got plenty of water. Our water flowing.
He's not giving a take on it.
Yeah.
I really don't. I guess not, you know. We got water here. That in question. We'll get water by any means necessary. You know, they'll do that here. This is Detroit. We persevere here.
Nick, before you go on this commercial break, Nick, I ain't tripping on you, black man. But if they cut your water off, it's not like going to nobody's house and stealing no copper wiring or breaking in and stripping it down. It's difficult to go tap somebody's pipeline if your neighbor ain't got no water, if nobody in your block ain't got no water. I mean, where are you going to put your feces at? Where are you going to put your urine at? Are people going to dig ditches in their backyard? I mean, see, you're looking at drinking. What about sanitation? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
see.
I understand what you're saying, but unless they shut off water main lines on the blocks, people will steal waters. They will get a water key. I have seen it. It's like a staff. I've never done it, but I've seen it. And they take it and they stick it in the ground and turn the water on.
I'm not tripping on no hustle that nobody's got. I'm quite sure when they come cut your electricity off, there's people that come and can flip it back on. When they come cut your cable off, there's people that can cut it back on. I'm quite sure that they even put it in a plan for what you're talking about right now, because I'm quite sure there's cats that's going to work for the water department ain't going to want to cut that person water off because he know he just might get shot. You know, the person coming, it's going to be a life or death job cutting your water off. So I'm quite sure, you see, they have a contingency plan in already.
You need air and you need water, bottom line. The next is shelter. I went to school for psychology, and I know the fundamentals of life. You need air You need water, you need food, then shelter, then clothing, then other things trickle down. So people are going to get water here.
Well, all I'm saying is, we're going to go to a little break. All I'm saying is that if people are going to get their water cut off, I'm quite sure they got a plan in it. We don't got to bring it. We ain't got to shut the key off in your block. We can shut the mic. We can go down there and cut the switch off and make sure the whole block don't have no water. But let me go. We got to go on one break right now. In 1 minute.
Who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning. That ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. That ain't right. People standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. Shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. He was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream. Ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. In his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was the one. Shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed. Ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. It's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning. Break out the mind. Break out the mind is burning.
the United States deployed 80 members of its armed forces to help locate the kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls in neighboring Chad, the White House said Wednesday. These personnel will support the operation of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance aircraft for missions over northern Nigeria and the surrounding area, it said in a letter. The force will remain in Chad.
And it's no secret Detroit was hit hard during the recession. The once bustling city of auto workers has seen years of high unemployment, a poverty rate near 40%, and a foreclosure crisis that has devastated the region. Now, some of the poorest residents are facing yet another crisis. No water. The city is cracking down on people with overdue accounts. Back in March, the Detroit Water and Sewage Department sent shutoff notices to nearly 45,000 residents. So far, more than 3,000 people have had their water turned off. The crackdown comes as the city just recently voted to jack up the rates for the water by nearly 9%. Concerned groups claim the move is violating the basic human rights to water, so they've decided to appeal to the United Nations. Four groups submitted a request to the UN Special Rapporteur this week. It details the problem in Detroit and calls for the UN's help. They're urging the UN to work with the state of Michigan and the U.S. government to stop the shutoffs and restore service and make water accessible and affordable. Now, the affordable line is the key word here. Over the last decade, Detroit residents have seen water rates rise by 119%.
We'll pay up. Or else, says the city struggles with bankruptcy tonight. The Detroit Water and Sewage Department is getting tough with customers who don't pay their bills. 7 Action News reporter Ronnie Dahl tells us they could find their service shut off.
During the winter months, late payers and non-payers get a break because if the water department was to shut their water off, well, the line could freeze up. But now it's springtime and time to pay up.
I pay mine every month. Never miss it.
Most people are like Femi, dedicated to paying their water bill on time each and every month, but others struggle.
That is extremely high. It costs too much.
Making ends meet can be tough, but customers won't be able to let their payment to Detroit's Water and Sewage Department slide any longer. Those who are past due on their bill at least 60 days risk having their taps turned off.
What will be occurring beginning next week is the department will begin its efforts to shut off service.
Customers owe the department roughly $118 million. $72 million of that is from residential customers. Do you think that they should get tougher on the people not paying their water bills?
I would say that would be fair. That would be a fair statement.
So if you're paying yours, everyone should be paying.
Yeah, everyone should be paying, but at the same time, start with the businesses, and then trickle down to the houses. Some people can't afford their bills.
For those who can't afford to pay their entire bill, they can make arrangements to pay installments. That way they can avoid having their service shut off. On Detroit's West Side, Ronnie Dahl, 7 Action News.
All right, thanks a lot, Ronnie.
All right, I'm unmuted. Now, I'm going to bring my man. We got Nicholas in. We got, we got Nicholas. We got Jason and Pat. Detroit. We got 3 Detroit. We got Tangela. Hold on, Tangela. Before I bring everybody in, let me give a plug to my Detroit correspondent, Moni Love Show. Bring her in. Hey, Moni, let me get a quick cheesy plug for your show so everybody know where they can find you and listen to you and what you do.
Sure. Thank you so much. Independent Underground on Radio Live is Michigan's top political podcast. We're aired on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 o'clock a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can also catch us on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on iTunes, and on Burberry. So make sure that you tune in. We love to have points of views that are different than ours and in the same aspect and learn a lot about not only just Michigan political, but also we analyze political from the national level. So Independent Underground Radio Live, you can catch us at www.blogtalkradio.com/ROJS Radio, and just put in a search on Google for Independent Underground Radio Live. You can catch any of our archive streams that way. Listen 24/7, 365, whenever you want to. So thank you, Jimmy.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all, because I like the correspondence you get. Let me go bring back Nicholas in, Ebony. I got Jason. Nick, you still there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm still here, Jimmy.
saying, you know, I got a problem, I got a love for you. But what I'm saying is I know people might persevere.
Right.
And they're going to do what they got to do because they do what they got to do right now.
Right.
The fact that your government had the audacity to say, if you just owe $125 over your bill, we know gas prices are high. We know foods are high. Cost of living is high. And some people, you're looking at this little water bill I could probably put off or get my children the clothes or food or their school supplies that I need. Now, with that being said, the city said, we're going to cut you off. Now, how DCFS look at it, if you don't have utilities in it, we can come take your kids. I'm looking at the domino effect, not the fact we're waiting on Johnny to come down the street and cut the water back on, because once the water go off, that's in the system, and then the feds know that Johnny ain't got no water. So if the fed, if the people come knock on the door, the TC, why your kids ain't got no water, or we got our water, let me see your water bill. Bam, now everybody's going on, and you're going to tell that Johnny did it for you because you ain't trying to go to jail. Now you're going to get Johnny in trouble because you got to keep your kids. I'm just saying. That's the way it's going to be going. I mean, that's the way it is. Now,
I really don't have too much to say about that because, fortunately, I'm not in that type of situation. But there are probably many citizens in the city of Detroit that may be in that situation because, you know, I don't know. It's just the fact that people need water, bottom line. You got to have the water more so than lights, you know.
Right.
You got to have water more so than lights. And I'm clean. I bathe every day or shower, brush my teeth and everything, and if the city is cracking down like that, this is the first time in my life, I'm 40 years old, and like I said, city is surrounded by water. Water was never really an issue. Water was an issue with the suburban communities, the battle with the suburbs about the prices that Detroit sells the water to them. The citizens are just now getting the problem of the high inflation and the price of water now because the city is broke. Why is the city broke?
Sorry, I have to interrupt there. I really do. Detroit is not broke, okay? Detroit has been set up to be broke, but Detroit is not broke. And let me just tell you a couple of things. This is a rumor that I heard, okay, and I believe this rumor has a lot of solace, that come October, which is right around the time that Governor Snyder is looking to be reelected somehow, that there will be an announcement that Detroit is between $1 billion to $1.8 billion in surplus. In other words, in the green.
Surplus?
Okay?
Are you serious?
That's what I'm hearing.
Something wrong.
Let me tell you why that this is possible, okay? Because actually right now Detroit has that money, okay? They have that money on the books, but in the same aspect they are not going to release it. Why? Because they need to continue with their austerity plan. They need to make sure that the retirees basically give up their pension, and in spite of the language inside the state constitution, which basically says their pensions shall not be impaired. They need to continue with selling off pieces of downtown to the richest, and then also selling off pieces of Microsoft to anyone that has money. It's low because of the fact that they want to make sure. Let me make sure. I mean, I'm not just like Josh in here. I'm really trying to tell you something. It's low right now because what do you do if you're playing the stock market? You buy low and you sell high. So you buy low, wait until the investment comes in, and then you sell high. That's exactly what they're doing to the people of Detroit. They're trying to get them out of there in order for them to, be able to make profits and sell high
What are you referring to?
I'm saying the people that they believe are undesirable. The people that now they want to push out.
The black people of Detroit?
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly okay. what their plan is. If you don't believe that that's the plan, I'm not gonna argue
that fact because I'm here. I don't know where you are, but I'm here.
I'm not too far away from you. Trust you. 40 miles up the road. That's it.
What you in Flint or something? Well, it doesn't matter. But bottom line, I'm here. I've seen an increase in the white community. I welcome it. I don't care. I see the white girls walking their dogs downtown, people jogging at Bel Air, Caucasians. That's fine. I don't care about that. I don't have a problem with it. You know, but I know why that's happening. Because the property value is down, and these rich white people, or not even rich, or just well-to-do, these younger white people are not scared of the hood. They're not scared of the hood. They're here. They're buying houses because they're cheap. They got a house for $5,000, you know, a 3-, 4-, 5-bedroom house, and it's their house. Because, you know, the property value is like that. And
I don't care about that.
I got neighbors, and where I live, it's a mixed area. I'm two blocks away from Dearborn. And if you know anything about Dearborn, that's the national Arab capital of North America. I see more Dearborn than I do Detroit. So I see Maz, I see the Arab brothers smoking their hookahs, and, you know, it's cool with me. I don't care about diversity. I think Detroit should be more diverse. It was once a predominantly black city. I grew up just knowing that. That's all I knew. But I'm cool for change.
Well, there's nothing
level.
Wrong with diversity as long as it's not diversity at the expense of the people that has been there historically for the last, give or take, 50, 60 years. There's nothing wrong with diversity if the diversity is not to make sure that others suffer for that diversity. That's the problem that I'm having. And people are suffering in Detroit. So for this diversity project, that was kind of, it's kind of funny because, you know, if you look at it, you know, the diversity was in reverse that you had generations of Caucasian people leaving Detroit. Now they're running to get back to Detroit. Why?
Because they feel they could capitalize on what's going on here.
Let me step in
for a second here. This is a re-gentrification of the city. You know, they've had issues with this. This whole thing about the decline of Detroit, you know, because at one point in time, back in, you know, the 40s, the 50s, and 60s, this, you know, it wasn't a predominantly black, you know, city. But you had all the automakers. You had tons of plants in the city. But when that migration happened, When blacks start coming from the South, migrating here to Detroit, and the auto industry created the largest, you know, the largest black middle class in the country.
Yep,
that's
correct.
Where they had the issue.
Good evening, everyone. How are you tonight?
Good evening.
Hello. I apologize. The young lady said I can come in when I got ready to. My name is Tangela Harris, and I wanted to comment on the topic.
Okay,
Chad,
what you
got to
say?
Okay, let me finish this up. This thing started back in the 60s and 70s. This started back then. And if you know that over the last 20 years or so, this is what the plan has been for Detroit. And it is trying to move us out. And so what do they do? One, they try to strip all the resources that they can in order to get it there. So like it was saying, people can come in and buy low, sell high. They started doing this back in 1994 when they passed the law about the resident, you know, about if you worked in the city that you had to live in the city. When they lifted that restriction,
that was Dennis Archer. That was the real beginning,
you know, of what's going on right now. So that's been the plan. And if you look at that, they've been tackling the school system, They're coming in attacking. Now they're attacking the citizens because that's, you know, they want to get this, you know, like all these people. You got people from other countries coming in buying up property in Detroit. And if you see it, they're building up downtown and midtown. And they're going to try to, you know, to continue pushing out and pushing us out into the suburbs.
So you have people coming from other countries that's able to come here and basically now live in Detroit because the governor is allowing it because he's basically expanding the H-1 visa program to make sure that they come here from other countries and get money to open up businesses. If you don't believe that's true, sir, the other one on the line, please go back and look at the history. It's not that far. It just was like 3 months ago. That's all, yeah,
exactly.
Go ahead.
It's been longer than that. When Section 8 kicked in, people left the city. They left the city. They moved to the suburbs.
Let me tell you, get in for a second. Go on there, Tangela. I know you've been holding on so long. Go on there, Tangela.
Oh, that's fine. I just wanted to hit on the general population's mindset behind all of this. I look at social media a lot, and I see the attitude or the emotional feelings behind the population and how what their take is on the situation. And we have a lot of brothers and sisters out here who feel like if a person's water is cut off, then shame on them. If they're going to get their hair done or if they are wearing gym shoes or if they are going to the casino, yada, 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 then shame on them, and their water should be cut off. And so I just wanted to say to all of those people that we all have to remember that there is a reason why we prioritize the way that we do. And it's systematic. And until we hit under the root, because a lot of people like to go for the root cause, until we hit under that root, what the root sits on top of, and handle those problems and issues, then we're going to always have these problems, and we're going to always have a community, neighbors, family, friends, brothers and sisters who have this mindset when they're themselves are just one paycheck away from losing everything. If anybody's listening and they feel like that, I just ask them to get a little bit more patience and think about why it is our people behave the way that we behave. Why do we have the perspective that we have? Why do we prioritize the way that we do? Everybody's looking to be happy, and they're chasing happiness, and they don't know what it looks like, and it's a reason because of that. Happiness has been taken from this population, from the urban community, from the rural community as a whole, not just black people. We've all been subjugated, and we've all been led to believe that monetary and material things is the way of the world, and this is what brings happiness to you. When all actuality, what truly brings happiness is harmony. And you can't get any harmony when you're on a rat wheel, when you're running around and you're constantly working two and three jobs to survive, and you incorporate America and you're selling yourself out. And so I won't hold up your line. I just ask people to be a little bit more patient with others in a way that we all are living because there's
Tangela, do you work two or three jobs? Do you work two or three jobs?
Actually, I don't work at all, but before I stopped working. I was working three jobs.
Oh, okay.
And that's because I was caught up in society and the way of the world, and I thought that with the car that I drove and the house that I lived in and the clothes that I wore, you know, I was looking for
you're talking about the house, the clothes, and the cars, but you ain't say your kids was going to the best schools. Right.
Oh, my daughter always went to what I thought was an exceptional school. I've always supported higher education on
whatever age she was, and that's what I always strive for. So I always made sure that my daughter was in a what some people would consider a school, but there really isn't no exceptional school because all of the schools are set up to dumb the child down. But I didn't have the knowledge that I have now.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
Well, when you're teaching false history, when you're holding children back by lies, there really isn't no system. When you're teaching every child the exact same way and you expect them to learn on the exact same level, it's all fallacy.
What lies are you speaking of? History?
Pardon?
History is what it is. I mean, you said that when they're teaching them lies.
You can't say history is
what it is. History, because math is not a lie.
Pardon me, you can't say history is what it is because the fact that they say Christopher Columbus discovered America, that's a lie.
Okay.
When you set up lies, you deprive a people of who they really are. And when the people have nothing great or divine to look to, when they're constantly fed images of when you're constantly fed images to make you feel like you're less than, you're going to grow up in a community feeling like that. When you make people feel like it's great to have 1 month where you celebrate your culture and you neglect 11 other months, you set a people up for failure.
All right, Tangela. Tangela, Nick, I got to take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
Christina.org, The War and Peace.
What's going on in Detroit?
Christina.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté.
Well, activists in Detroit have appealed to the UN over the city's move to shut off the water of thousands of residents. The Detroit Water Authority says half of its 323,000 accounts are delinquent. It has begun turning off the taps of those who do not pay bills that total above $150 or that are 60 days late. Since March, up to 3,000 account holders have had their taps shut off per week. The Detroit Water Authority carries an estimated $5 billion in debt and has been the subject of talks to privatize. Activists have been organizing against the water shutoffs, saying they target Detroit's most vulnerable families. This is Ann Rawl of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization.
That was Ann Rawl of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. In a submission to the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Human Right to Safe Drinking Water and Sanitation, activists say Detroit is trying to push through a private takeover of its water system at the expense of basic rights. The group Food and Water Watch said by denying water service to thousands, Detroit is violating the human right to water. The poverty rate in Detroit is approximately 40%, and people have seen their water bills increase by 119% within the last decade. Most of the residents are African American. Two-thirds of those impacted by the water shutoffs involve families with children. Meanwhile, the Detroit Water and Sewerage Department, or DWSD, has defended its actions, saying the water shutoffs are necessary for alleviating the department's debts. This is Greg Eno, the Public Affairs Specialist at WSD.
We're trying to work with people more aggressively, let's put it that way, to try to get them either on payment plans or to get them paid, and it has worked. It has. We've lowered our debt a little bit by doing that.
For more, we go to Detroit, Michigan, where we're joined by Maureen Taylor, the state chair of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. In Ottawa, Canada, we're joined by Mira Karunanampan, an international water campaigner for the Blue Planet Project. Her group filed the submission to the UN Special Rapporteur regarding the right to drinking water in Detroit. We invited Detroit's emergency manager, Kevin Orr, to join us on the program, but his office declined our request. Maureen and Mira, thanks for joining us. Maureen, tell us what's happening on the ground. People must be scratching their heads around the United States and around the world to hear this. How many people are having their water cut off in Detroit every week?
We're getting conflicting information, and good morning to you. We're told that it's anywhere from 3,000 per month to 3,000 per week. It is historical for the Detroit Water and Sewage Department to not give its residents information, but at our offices at Michigan Welfare Rights, we are getting 30 to 40 calls an hour where people are saying, I either have a water bill and I'm afraid that my water is about to be cut off, or my water has already been cut off. What can you do to help us and give us some information? So it is scandalous, and we live in the Great Lakes. And to have water threatened and people told that if your bill is $150 or more, you're on a block, a chopping block, where your water is going to be turned off. In Michigan, it is particularly egregious because a household that has welfare involvement and water is turned off with minor children in a home means that protective services can come in and take the children out and put them in foster care. And in a foster care home, you can earn more money as a foster parent than you can as a birth mother. It's just scandalous what's going on in Detroit, just scandalous.
And what can families do if they don't have water? Where do they get clean water?
Well, again, we live in the Great Lakes, so it's an outrage to even have this discussion that this kind of attack is going on. What we advise people to do is, first of all, we get information on what is the reason why you may be behind on your water bill. We have multiple agencies and organizations that we can send people to get partial payments. We try to encourage people to set up payment plans. But the number of people that are under attack, and again, we're talking about blue-collar workers in Detroit. This is an orchestrated attack by banks and corporations and whatnot in an effort to try to enrich themselves. And so as the Water Department is trying to justify this egregious behavior, we didn't have any choice. But our colleagues in Canada that suggested perhaps we should go to the UN, we jumped at the opportunity, and we are expecting the United Nations to come to Detroit, take a look at what's going on here, and to make some kind of declarations about human rights violations. This is an outrage.
Mira Karnanthan, you're with the Blue Planet Project. Your group authored this report to the UN. Can you talk about what the statement, this appeal, says?
The United Nations will look at the facts, look at what's happening in Detroit, and join us in declaring this a violation of the human right to water and sanitation. If you listen to the Department of Water and Sewerage in Detroit, you would think this is a case of people not paying for running shoes they purchased. But we're talking about the water and sanitation services the people in Detroit are entitled to. This is their public water and sanitation utility. And so the level of cutoffs that we're seeing in Detroit, It's absolutely outrageous. It is a scandal, and it's a human rights violation. And these are not the measures that should be taken by the city to address the problem of underfunding to the water and sanitation services.
Mira, how much?
Now we're calling on the U.S. government. We're calling on Congress to intervene. We're calling on the state of Michigan to intervene, because both the federal government and the state have obligations to ensure that the rights of the people in the city of Detroit are.
Chest up in hell. Now, I'm going to bring my panelists back in, my correspondent and my caller. I guess everybody's here on the line except Jimmy Lee and Ebony are from the great state of Michigan. Let me bring Moni Love in for a second. Now, Moni, now you heard what the lady just said, you know, about being on welfare and you're getting snatched up. Now, I made a joke, you know, earlier about the poorest borders that we got down in Texas and how all these kids are just popping up on our shores. Like, I don't know why parents are going to send their kids to the foreign country of their mama and daddy. That's the craziest thing in the world to me. And now that welfare recipients in Michigan, let's say Detroit, Wayne County, getting a check from the government SSI, welfare, disability. Water gets cut off.
Mm-hmm.
The kids get snatched. The
right.
kids go to a foster kid home. They, in mm-hmm. turn, lose their welfare because they don't have their children, so their roles are reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is saying nothing about this.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Let's not look at the water. Okay, we can bypass that, oh, I can't drink. Okay, let's bypass that. We can bypass, oh, I can't flush my toilet and or wash my behind. But no, I mean, you can go a couple of days stanking. People will forego stanking. I've seen people not bathe for months, so I ain't tripping on that. But to not have a place where you can dump your feces at. I'm not talking about your urine. You know, because we know this, you know, if you live in a ghetto, you probably smell urine alleys, you know, we probably are immune to urine. But we're not immune to human feces in the streets. Because what you going to do when you got to go?
You got to go.
I mean, no, listen, you're rolling through, listen, people, you're rolling through Detroit. You got to make a stop at a gas station. It's you and your baby. What you going to do? Maybe you had to take a squat out in the park?
Mm.
And then what's going to happen? We're going to get a ticket for defecation. I mean, Lord have mercy.
Indecent exposure, that's the first thing, defecating on public property. You can go on and on with these citations because there's many.
I'm not trying to sound funny or paint a picture, but if you look at the domino effects on sanitation, I mean, every civilization is defined by their sanitation and how they are able to remove their waste from society in order to have a healthy society because, hell, that's what you're going to have in Europe. They had a place with their damn waste, and the black plague came and wiped the whole population out. You know? But I'm just saying that. But I'm not even tripping on that. That may sound as gruesome and like, oh, wow.
No, it's not gruesome. It's the reality. You know,
but the underlying occurrence, I'm saying, is the children are being snatched from their parents because it's the law. Bottom line, there's
a lot of problems with this. If I could take a couple minutes and kind of just walk you through what it is the austerity plan is, because that's really what it is. It's austerity at its finest. Now, you've got to go back a little bit, and I won't take up too much time, but go back into the farce bankruptcy. A man named Tom Barrow basically exposes bankruptcy for a farce. Way back, might as well say it in 2012, he actually came on my show and basically confronted the state treasurer who happened to spend a lot of time in the Caribbean instead of actually working when he was supposed to be retired, but somehow he ended up still being on contract with the state of Michigan and no one knew it, and, you know, he was in the Caribbean. But he actually exposed the state treasurer in regards to his fallacy accounting. In front of the former Honorable Councilwoman Joanne Watson. Basically, the media covered that up because they did not want the truth to be out. Next thing you know, Kevin Orr is assigned to the city of Detroit. Kevin Orr, who basically owed his own back taxes inside of his former state, if I have it correct, of Virginia? Yeah, back to his nanny because they couldn't pay their employment taxes. So it's amazing while we're talking about cutting people's water off that the emergency manager had back taxes of somewhere in the area of like $1,500 to $2,000, but yet still we're cutting people off of water for $150. So I just want to make sure we have a perspective here. From that point on, the austerity plan basically included making sure that, you know, not only will these poor citizens have their water cut off, but soon to be maybe even the retirees that worked for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years on a good faith contract, that they would basically be able to have a certain income per month. And now the governor and also his emergency manager, Kevin Orr, is trying to make sure that they will have their income cut, their health insurance raised, and also their life insurance snatched. I mean, this is not a joke. This is literally going on in the city of Detroit.
rate. Meanwhile, between time, the public schools basically was sold off to contractors of the highest dollar that can't manage to actually run the public schools because they are still, what I think I read last week, $84 million in debt or something like that. This was through the EAA, the Educational Achievement Authority, with John Chancellor, who was supposed to be affiliated with some Harvard, prep school, which I have never heard of. There's only Harvard University. Came in, basically did absolutely nothing, and then disappeared last week when might as well say mountains of stories that were coming out by independent journalists about the deplorable state of EAA-ran schools. And I could go on. You know, they snatched the park that was given to Detroit. This park was given to Detroit. This really bothers me as a park commissioner in my community. Given to the citizens of Detroit for basically their use, for their families, for them to go have recreation. The park was snatched from the city of Detroit, basically by this emergency manager, Kevin Orr, and also the austerity governor, which is Rick Snyder, basically leased by force from the city council to the state of Michigan, where the city of Detroit makes no money on this park, but they do pay for maintenance and upkeep fees. I mean, if we look at this, we can see the austerity game at play. We can see basically where the residents are being, I hate to say this, but actually being like hoodwinked, you know, by these austerity kings and queens to believe that their city is broke. They, I might as well say, are worthless. Nothing is going to ever get better. And then they're going to cut the water off on top of it. And the point of this, and also the whole foreclosed housing situation, and, of course, please not forget about the whole derivatives market that basically put a bunch of people out of their homes because of the fact that Wall Street wanted it that way. I mean, when we really look at this whole picture, Jimmy, what you see is regentrification at its finest. And that's why I'm having such a problem with all of it when you're looking at it in total. You know, as a person that has studied business and have an MBA MBA Michigan, Masters of Business Administration, I can see the game, you know, that the austerity kings and queens are playing on the citizens of the city of Detroit, and it actually makes me angry. It makes me angry because they're making citizens turn against each other, you know what I'm saying, in order to try and scrap for whatever pieces of crumbs that are coming down from the kings and queens of the austerity masters. This is not the way America should be ran. This is not the way the city of Detroit should be treated. This is not the way the citizens of the city of Detroit should be treated. This is a deplorable scheme. And when folks start calling it for what it is, then we'll finally get to the point of having a real conversation about this.
Jason, you got anything to say?
She hit a lot of points right on, and like you said, you look at everything that's taking place, you know, how they're trying to destroy the educational system here. And who is that affecting? The black and brown, you know, children. How they're, you know, really coming in and really trying to piecemealing the city, giving
Jimmy,
away our assets, you know. And it's just, you know, you can see what they're doing. And like I said, and a lot of times until we wake up, and call it for what it is, and to
brother,
bring it, you know, and to really,
brother,
you know, to really
brother,
do
come
something
on
about
now,
it.
Don't try to spin me off, man. What she was talking about, I could tell how she was talking. She ain't sitting in 313, okay? I'm right here, okay? I'm here.
No, but I am there every day, and I can read, and I can actually talk to
you. You're there every day, what, at work,
yeah.
Okay?
And Brother Nick,
Do you not believe that this
affects me? Fortunately, I don't have a water bill problem. Okay, I can't.
Brother Nick, hold on, brother.
That means
I want to get.
They are less than you. I mean, can you explain that? Because you don't, and other people do in a city that has 40% poverty rate. That means that they're less than you. Can you explain that?
And let me say this, Brother Nick, everything she just said is on point.
It's
and everything
point.
That she just said,
I'm not
and
questioning
I'm,
it,
I'm in the 313. I'm in the
too.
313 like you. I grew up in it. And I'm in there fighting every day for it. You know, so what she said is on point, brother. And if we don't wake up, it's gonna be it's all gonna be snatched from
us. We
gotta
look out for
the
each
rug
other.
Is being snatched
and
from
us. We have
under.
Been looking out for each other because I went through a miserable storm when I didn't have a job for 2 years. I didn't have a job. I am a true Detroiter. My boys that I went to college with, I went to Central State University. Okay. And
As well as I.
And I think you know that. And my boys looked out for me. They looked out for me because they knew the individual that I was.
Nick, I got this. I ain't tripping.
You mean, I got nine minutes.
I ain't trying to be the same. Me. What about the welfare babies getting snatched, Nick?
Yeah, go ahead. But, Jimmy, that means that I got to ask this question. So that means since you had the fortunate of going to Central Michigan.
Hold on,
Monica.
I want you. I got 9, 8 minutes.
Every family should have the same thing. And so people should just look out for them, even though there's generations of poverty in the city of Detroit. I just want to make that point, and I promise I will be quiet. Go ahead.
Monica,
let me ask the gentleman something.
Was that a question for you, Jimmy, or for her?
Hold on, Tangie. I'm bringing in Tangie, and I want you to ask this question too, Nick. What about the babies on welfare when they water get cut off because they landlord didn't pay that bill?
Yes. And do you know that if a child is taken and put in foster care,
I thought
if the
Jimmy was
one,
asking
okay.
me a question, I thought you was gonna be quiet. But
okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I want to get Tangie in. Go on.
I was just going to say, those children that are being taken because their water is being shut off, once those children are placed in foster care, if the parent has one traffic ticket, that parent cannot get their child back. So what do you say to all of these parents that are being redlined through insurance? What do you say to them? All of these parents out here who are riding around with tickets up under their name, and it's a million and one of us because of the redlining. What do you say to them, the parents who can't get their children back because the landlord has not paid the water bill? What do you say to these parents?
Nick?
I am no saint, and I...
Nick, I mean, I'm just saying, can't we keep it real? We keep 313. Just give it to me so I can give it to my nation, the listeners, Nick. What do you tell them?
I feel that the courts, the law enforcement should take under consideration that fact. And, I mean, those officers that do that, they have a choice when
the officers, they do what?
Really? Give out, see, no, Nick. They don't know. They don't know if that lady water off or not. They don't know.
Well,
the
they
all know they
know that,
is
that
all I'm saying is
they
if,
might not.
It is true, if, and I'm going to research it because I'm trying to have part two. I got 6 minutes left. We bring this back on.
They might not know that lady's water's off, but if that lady got warrants or something, they can.
I don't know. We're not on warrants. All we are on is this new bill that they're saying. If you were $150 short on your bill, they're shutting you off. Now, like you said, the Section 8 people, yeah, let's deal with Section 8 people. You on Section 8, you got your little kids, the landlord pays bill. That ain't on you. Now you provide an unhealthy environment for your shorty, and they're going to take your kids, give somebody $1,000 a kid. They can pay their water bill off your children. Now, all I'm saying is, what do you say to that mommy, Nick?
I have
no comment on that, Jimmy.
Because that's reality in the 313. I just played the clip. You win. That came from America. I didn't get that out of America. I got that off of international media. That's how I see us across the seas.
I have no comment on that, you know.
And the reason why it's an international subject is because this is a disgrace. This is about being humane. This is about humanitarian rights. This is about standing up for a cause. And if there isn't no greater cause right now in the urban community right here in Detroit, the 313, it's water. It's ridiculous
yeah,
that they
keep saying
people
right
water
here.
Off
you ain't here. You're not here.
Yes,
he is there.
Another caller. That's
Tangie.
Another caller for the 313.
I live on Lawrence and Hamilton. I'm right here in the 313. I see it every day. I'm out here on this concrete, stuffing it hard. I'm right here, brother. And what I'm saying to you is, anytime we have to fight for water, then there's a serious problem.
She ain't here, Jimmy.
That means that those who are better off, those who have the resources, whether it's mentally or financially, better get a grip. Because guess what? You're not in that tier, brother. I promise you, you're not protected at all. Because if you were, you wouldn't be on the phone with us. That means you need to be getting educated and you need to be getting some arms. And you need to be, and I'm not talking about any military arms, no guns or nothing like that. I'm talking about some spiritual weaponry where you can use it to actually decipher right from wrong. And anytime somebody say somebody deserves to get their water cut off, you're wrong, brother. And I tell you this, you better wear a mask when you walk out your door, because it's going to come to a point where this stuff is going to be airborne. It's going to be airborne, and it's going to have an effect and a toll on us all. I just ask you to look at it, have a little bit more patience. Like I said earlier, step back. And don't look at it as you can pay your bill, because I bet you you're not 3 months in the good. Not many of us are 3 months in the good, and anything can happen to you at the drop of a dime where you will lose everything, and you'll be saying, that young lady with that big mouth that was on that radio station that night told me to get a little bit more patience, because in a minute you're going to need somebody to have patience for you. What they
man,
doing here in Detroit
she,
is just
going,
a mess.
Going.
And they are
about
to
why
run it across
going
the
like
whole
that?
Nation. If we don't stop what's going on.
Hello. I didn't mean to mute you. Now, Ebony has said, we're running out of time. Put my man Moni in so I get a last little shout out to Moni. Jason, Moni, and Nick, and yeah, we'll have part two. I ain't going to do a new music Thursday. I'm doing a series in the Detroit stuff because it's campaign season, everybody. If we can tune in, I'll have more information. Moni, give me a little information where they can find your radio station at.
Yeah, www.blogtalkradio.com/RLJS Radio. Independent Underground Radio Live, 11 to 1, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
All right, Jason, anything you want to let people know what you're doing, what's going on? Ebony said your political career is rising. What's happening with that?
Well, right now, just doing my thing, man. Really fighting this whole education piece, man. Doing that, got my consulting thing going on with that, man, and just really, pushing it out there and just really trying to fight for these children here in the city of Detroit and Metro Detroit, and really for our black and brown babies, man, and getting this thing. So that's where they can see me at. I'm in that fight for the education.
That's beautiful. Now, Tangie, Nick, I ain't going to put y'all on front, but if y'all ain't doing nothing tomorrow, because I have better, more information so we can feed to the people, because I say I'm not on the ground. I'm trying to make sure that the whole world knows the story, because no one knows the story. How much time we got left, Ebony? One. Well, all right, good night, man. You God be with you. Fade it out, Ebony.
And the bankers still owe us 40 acres.
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You
don't tempt me, getting paid for real.